The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
24 people have now died in wildfires that continue to ravage Los Angeles. The Palisades Fire, the largest fire, is reported to be just 13% contained, and there are significant concerns that the fires could take off once again as the Santa Ana winds are expected to pick up, reaching speeds of almost 100 kilometres per hour. For the latest on the fires and more news stateside, we're joined by J.D. Capelluto, lead writer for Semaphore's flagship newsletter. J.D., good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How's it going?
Now, the death toll at 24, that's expected to rise.
Yes, that is expected to rise, partly because this is the confirmed death toll. So, you know, investigators, authorities are still working their way, you know, through so much damage, you know, like you said, 12,000 structures damaged or destroyed. So it's unfortunately expected that, you know, crews will find more people who have unfortunately died in these fires. And like you said, they're expected to possibly pick up. So there's more risk there as well.
Now, in that fire, which burned through more than 23,000 acres, the Palisades Fire, much of that area will probably be uninhabitable for two reasons. One is the landscape is completely burnt and charred. But secondly, to build again, you'd have to insure yourself.
Yes. So the fire insurance, you know, issue here has really been a focus. There's a worry that, you know, fire insurance as we know it could totally be eliminated essentially in California, especially in Los Angeles, in these fire prone areas, and just given the cost of the damage, there's concerns that the you know, problems with getting and keeping insurance, those premiums being too high or even just unavailable at all, could really make it hard to rebuild. I know Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday did say that he is, you know, signing some orders to eliminate some, you know, environmental reviews that can sometimes take a long time for people who want to rebuild in those areas. So that could hopefully make it easier for people who want to rebuild and are able, like you said, to get insurance.
The blame game has been going on for some days now. And the question of whether there was a deficit in the availability of water or whether there was a deficit in the clearing of brushwood after a particularly dry spell, all of those questions should inform whatever rebuilding plans there are.
Exactly. That's going to take a while to figure out exactly, you know, what the issues were here. You know, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, who herself has come under a lot of fire for taking a trip to Ghana while these wildfires were unfolding and were forecast. She has said, you know, let's just focus on putting the fires out. You know, emergency response is the priority now. And then after, there will be, you know, a larger reckoning about what happened here. But yes, certainly already starting, Donald Trump, like we talked about last week, has been blaming Newsom and other California Democrats, calling them incompetent, etc. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah. And meantime, Republican politicians made their way to Mar-a-Lago, away from the California fires, which is anyway how they chose to spend some of their time. Moving on to the forecast for today, the winds might accelerate again. And I think one of the fire chiefs said we've reached a fork in the road. Speaking to the BBC, the fire could take off on Wednesday and Thursday, or on the other hand, we might have it licked.
Yes. Yeah, so they today is really kind of an important day for kind of the trajectory of these fires. The winds will really be important in terms of what happens here, because obviously if they're as dangerous as they were last time, they can really fan these flames and undo some of the progress that firefighters have made in containing them. I think you know, the mayor said that firefighters are essentially being stationed almost like battle stations throughout the city right now, just in anticipation for where these flames might pick up. So certainly will depend on the weather there and where they can get firefighters out.
Now, there's been an extraordinary amount of online abuse of the people who are victims of the fire. You know, people saying that the Hollywood elite, you know, serves them right kind of thing. They've got enough money, they can rebuild, or perhaps they should have better protected their houses in the first place.
Yeah, that's, you know, an unfortunate kind of dark side of this whole situation, kind of this vitriol against people who have lost everything. It's really, you know, unfortunate to see. But I think a lot of people are also pointing out that, you know, and like we spoke last time, you know, this is something that affects anyone regardless of income or class or that sort of thing. If, you know, this, you know, these natural disasters can really affect mm-hmm. anyone. And if anything, that should show why, you know, work should be done to hopefully prevent it more in the first place.
Moving on to other news, Jack Smith, the man who led the two federal criminal cases against Donald Trump, resigned as expected. It wasn't a sudden resignation. And there is a legal row over whether or not his reports can be published by Merrick Garland.
Yes, this, you know, whole saga still hasn't ended, even with Jack Smith resigning. As you said, it was expected. His work kind of wound down a few weeks ago after Donald Trump won re-election. There was not really any way he was going to stay on with Donald Trump coming back to the White House. But yes, now the question is whether his final report on his investigation, which in theory has more details about what he uncovered, who he interviewed, that sort of thing, is being blocked from release. A federal judge has blocked it. The Department of Justice wants to release it. And so now there's a question of, will it be released? In what form will it be released? How much? So again, it's working its way through the courts, as so many things are in the U.S. right now.
But delay has been Trump's byword. So he is hoping that it won't be released before he becomes president, after which time he can block it completely.
Exactly. There's definitely less, and even if there is a chance that it could still come out, there's less of a case that it should come out if it would be against a sitting president.
Meanwhile, there's a very interesting news from your namesake, J.D. Vance. Speaking on Fox News yesterday, he said that violent January 6th rioters should not receive pardons.
Yeah, he said actually, obviously, they shouldn't be pardoned, which was pretty remarkable. That's one of the main things that folks like me in the U.S. are going to be watching once Donald Trump takes office in exactly 1 week, to see. This is an act that in theory he could take on day one as a, you know, his use of presidential power to pardon these, you know, more than 100 people who were convicted in that Capitol riot. But now we're seeing J.D. Vance say those who were violent shouldn't be pardoned, and there may be a difference between, you know, it might not be a blanket pardon of every rioter. Trump is obvious, he's the one who will make the call, but it's important to note that he himself has actually softened on this in the last few weeks since winning re-election. And he said that, you know, many will be pardoned and that some who got, quote, out of control might not. So that's something to keep
an eye on.
And
do you think this is J.D. Vance being his master's voice, actually going out there to set the scene for such an eventuality?
I think it's possible. I think that, you know, they could try to, I think this is something the Republican Party might have to answer for if they were to say pardon people who were violent against police officers. The GOP often positions itself as the quote unquote law and order party, the party that's on the side of police. They might not want any blowback from, say, police unions or folks like that if they were to pardon people who got violent against officials.
Now, Donald Trump thanked TikTok for providing him with a lot of coverage during the election and a lot of votes. And yet the U.S. Supreme Court looks like it's going to uphold a law that would require TikTok to be banned or disposed of.
Exactly. So this is something that this is a really pivotal week for TikTok as well. If the Supreme Court upholds this law that was passed last year that would either ban it or require it to be sold, it will be banned from U.S. app stores on the 19th, which is next Sunday, a day before Trump's inauguration. And there wouldn't really be that much Trump can do about it unless it was going to kind of go and try to repeal that law, which could be difficult in Congress. So a really pivotal week for TikTok. This would obviously have massive impacts. Yeah.
And we had a statement from one of the Supreme Court justices about that, suggesting it would be unconscionable for Trump to allow TikTok to continue in the event of a Supreme Court ban.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be quite difficult. I'm not sure. This is kind of a legal question that hasn't really been tested of whether that's something he could even do. If the Supreme Court were to uphold a law that Congress passed, the president can't just ignore that. So, yeah.
And finally, a Biden call to Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. It looks like Biden is clinging on to the hope of a hostage deal before he leaves office.
Yeah, so there's, you know, 1 week really for the Biden administration to strike this deal they've been trying to strike for over a year now between Israel and Hamas. You know, hopes have kind of risen in the last few days that a deal could be reached. There's some high-level Israeli officials, U.S. officials, including one of Donald Trump's incoming advisors in Qatar, having talks. So there's a possibility. They're really hoping to get a deal through before Donald Trump takes office, which could, you know, in that case, expected that Israel might, you know, ramp up more pressure on Hamas, possibly cut off aid. Israel, in that case, would be less worried about blowback from the U.S.
So it's in Netanyahu's interest to not facilitate a deal before the Trump inauguration.
It could be that that's what some pundits are saying, but there's also a case that, you know, with Donald Trump being more unpredictable than Biden, they could say, hey, your best deal might be right now, you know, the deal you know you'll get. And Hamas might just dig its feet in under Trump, for example, because they don't have Biden to kind of be criticizing Netanyahu.
Jeddu Kabaluto, lead writer for Semaphore's flagship newsletter. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.